Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the words of this wonderful song we've been singing. Lord, they're so true. Because you live, we can face tomorrow. For without you, we can do nothing. But with you, anything is possible. We thank you, Lord, that you live. And in you, we live and move and have our being because you live. Oh, Lord, we're thankful that you live this morning. We're thankful that you're alive. We thank you, Lord, that you hear and you answer prayer. We thank you, Lord, that you're a strength, you're a shield, you're a buckler, your very present help in the time of trouble. And we worship you and we praise you this morning, Lord Jesus. Father, close us in with yourself. Cover us with your blood. I do take the Holy Ghost right now, and I thank you for the Holy Spirit. Pray the Holy Ghost to the free course in this house and in every life. Lift before you every single need. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, will you meet every need? Will you touch each one? Physical, spiritual, financial, meet every need. For we're asking it in the name that's above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, touch your brother Larry and give him strength and grace. Touch your brother Andrew, give him strength and grace. Move in my own sister and give her strength and grace. And any others laid aside, sick or afflicted, touch them and give them strength and grace, we pray. And those that need comfort this morning, comfort and strengthen, we pray. And those that's on holidays, bless them. And those that can't be here, bless them, Lord, we pray. For all the nurses and doctors, bless them and strengthen them. For your own people, Israel, bless and strengthen and guide and encamp with the angels of the Lord. In Jesus' precious name. Father, have your way in our lives as we acknowledge you in all our ways, knowing that you will direct our path. Heal the sick that's amongst us. For those in our families, friends, and loved ones, heal and touch, we pray. Father, we ask for all our children that's not saved and loved ones. Lord, we claim every one of them under that token. In the name of Jesus Christ, we claim every boy, every girl, every man, every woman to come in and be saved in Jesus' precious name. Lord, I pray this morning as we read and open your word, you'll help us. Touch someone in this house, Lord. Some that would listen in, touch them, minister to them. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Isn't God good? Amen. Praise God. God is so good. Just a couple of verses, then we're going to be seated. Praise God. And the Lord bless all these musicians. It's great to have the music. Used to be just Gary and the guitar for years. Then her sister Alva came along with the piano or organ. Now we have a few more added on. May the Lord continue. Amen. God is so good. Praise God. Just to say, last week's service was a wee bit of an accidental deletion. Matthew's trying his best to get this new machine updated, and last week's meetings was deleted. So if you're trying to find them online, you won't be able to find them. They're not there. They were deleted. I really felt the Lord bless us last week. You know, but anyhow, God knows everything, but take plenty of notes, then you'll have it. Praise God. This morning I want to preach someone who preached years ago similar to this, and I really feel I'm someone of the Lord this morning for somebody. I feel that strong. Felt it when I was waiting on the Lord in the office yesterday, and I wasn't planning to preach on this, and I was studying on them face, you know, them face of Israel, seven face. And then I was studying on them. And I'm hoping when the Lord leads, I want to bring the gospel out every one of them face. But I need time. Time. And then Sharon doesn't see much of me really at the minute between the work and the meetings and studying. But God knows all these things, doesn't he? You pray that the Lord will give me. I need more time. I need time. I have enough time. I want time. I'm willing. But I need God to step in. Praise God. Let's read Malachi 3. And this morning I'm preaching on God is responsible for his word. He is a responsible God. And he preached before many years ago, several times, God resuming full and total responsibility at Calvary. But I want this morning to share with you, God is responsible for his word. Malachi 3 verse 6, and then we're going to read Jeremiah 1 verse 12. Praise God. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Jeremiah 1 verse 12. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. God bless you. You may be seated in a better give the rest of the announcements because we'll forget all about it. Next Saturday coming at 10 o'clock, Saturday coming, we're having a baptismal service. We're meeting at Bloody Bridge, Newcastle. If you don't know where that is, if you just drive straight out through Newcastle, there's a wee car park on the left out along there. and we're meeting there. It's about a 10-minute walk. For those who's getting baptized, bring a shawl or towel. What do you call them things? You swing on yourself, Sharon.
Poncho.
Poncho. Oh, a big poncho would be a job. I have one of them coming in the post. But anyhow, bring a towel, poncho, maybe some sort of wee slippers. And it's about a 10-minute walk. So you get a nice brisk walk before we get started. It's not great. And then we're going to have our baptismal service. There's 7 people, as far as I know, to be baptized. May the Lord bless every one of them. From the youngest to the oldest, may God bless them. If there's any more want to come and they're saved and they're wanting baptized, and who knows, maybe somebody will join us up there, Brother Al, and we'll give them a wee bit of the gospel. And maybe somebody else will come as well. But the Lord's good, isn't it? It's great. You know, when I was thinking about the baptism, I was thinking the first time I did the baptisms, and we were in the old schoolhouse. Me and Sharon went past it the other night. We were in the old schoolhouse, Tonicmore Schoolhouse, 1994. And I preached a water baptism, and the devil kept saying to me, yeah, after this morning, nobody's going to come back. You've preached too hard on Acts 2:38, and there's nobody's going to come back to these meetings. And 10 people got baptized after that service. 10 people. And then there was another 14 in another service got baptized. And I remember going to baptize. Me and Ewell worked at Karen Pellicillin at the time. And we met a wee Christian woman, and she knew an Orwee woman. And she got us the Pellicillin swimming pool on. And we got Pellicillin swimming pool for the baptisms. And Sister Deirdre Lachlan was living then. And her son Stephen, he ran over and jumped in before we could start it. Deirdre gave him a queer telling laugh, I remember that. And that's the first time as well I met Billy Patterson for the first. Didn't know Sharon then either. Met Billy Patterson for the first. And he come along to support our baptism services. And that's a long time back. Some of the folks are still here in the meeting. Some of them's went on. Some of them's not coming to these meetings, but they're going to other meetings. But the Lord knows, doesn't he? Praise God. So you never know in life, praise God, what happens then. One time I was in Africa and they asked me to do a baptismal service. Oh, I'll tell you, boys, you want to see if we did a baptismal service. She was lethal, I'll tell you. It's just really a shock. You wouldn't, it was hardly even water. It was like a shock. And I couldn't say to them, I'm not getting into that. That's all they had. And we got down into it, and we did a baptism, and the people came out of it, and they were rejoicing. They were rejoicing. Some of them even got filled with the Holy Spirit. And you know, there was one young man, I think that was Uganda. One young man, I asked for those feeling the call to ministry, and several young men came. And one of them young man's a pastor today. He went on with the Lord, and he's traveled all over the world preaching and everything. One of them young fellows was in that meeting. I could write a book, you know, on the different things I've seen. It's only God's grace, but the Lord knows. It's good to encourage yourself, Lord, isn't it? Responsibility. That's what we want to talk. God is responsible for his word. So when you read the word of God, you have to believe it, but you never wrote it. It is God's word. And God does not change his mind about his word. And you know, in the church age book, William Branham says that's one of the greatest revelations of all revelations. That God never changes his mind about his word. His word remains the same. I am the Lord thy God, Malachi 3:6, I change not. And Jeremiah here we've read that he's hastened his word. My word to perform it, I will bring it to pass. God keeps an eye on his word. God will bring his word to pass. Responsibility is the state or the fact of being responsible, accountable for someone within one's power. And God is accountable for his word. It's not that we wrote the word and we're accountable for the word. God, we have to believe it. But God is accountable for His word. God is responsible for His word. And He'll keep His word. God is responsible for the word, therefore He keeps His word. We must be responsible to each other and to God. And our responsibility to each other and our responsibility to God is we should never change the word of God. And even if we give a testimony and God spoke to us, let's say God spoke to some of us and God told us certain things, we cannot add on to that to make it sound better or change it or alter it. We must leave it. If it's just a small thing, well, then that was all God wanted to say. Leave it at that. Because that small thing can do big things if it's God. And maybe God spoke to someone in this room or several people years ago, and maybe you feel it's never happened, it's never come to pass. But remember, God is a responsible God. And it will happen if God said it. Because He is a responsible God and He is responsible for His word. You know, I've told it many times, my testimony, and I know you all know it. And, you know, my waist lad the other day, he wanted to ask the mom, him and his wee mates, he stayed with over to his mates for night, and they wanted to get my testimony. And Keith has it on his site. Must have been when I gave it over there. No, Brian. It's probably in Brian's site somewhere as well. And him and his wee mate must have been listening to my testimony. But you know, the Lord told me in a jail several things, and they've come to pass. Now they might happen even more still, I don't know, but they have already happened. The things He said has came to pass and they've happened. And I'll tell you, God keeps His word. God is responsible for that word. And we must be responsible as well to each other. God will not respond to a changed word or a broken promise. You cannot hold God accountable to something that He's never said. God will not be accountable to that. It must always be according to His word. Then He is responsible for that word. Look at Hebrews 6, verse 13 and 14. For when God made promise to Abraham because he could swear by no greater. And tonight I'm going to preach on swearing by himself. There's a title for you. Swearing by himself. He made promise to Abraham he could swear by no greater. So he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee and multiplying I will multiply thee. And still this morning in 2026, because of what God said to Abraham, Israel cannot be defeated. Israel is blessed. Israel will multiply. The blessing is still on them. And all the things that God said hundreds of years ago were still happening, are still coming to pass, because God said it. God is responsible. Couldn't swear by any greater. So this is the highest form. This is the highest authority, the highest ability, the highest being there is God, whom all things are made by Him and for Him through the Lord Jesus. And without Him was not anything made that's made. He is the beginning, Jesus Christ, the creation of God. He's the beginning. And He's responsible. Ezekiel 12:25 says, for I am the Lord, I will speak. And the word that I speak shall come to pass. It shall no more be prolonged. For in the days, O rebellious house, will I say the word and will perform it, saith the Lord. So if God's going to do a thing and God speaks, it can happen straight away. Now we saw on Thursday night that lame man in the book of Acts, and then we saw another lame man in John. And the man in John at the pool of Bethesda, Jesus immediately healed him. He immediately touched him and it immediately happened. He spoke it, he said it, it happened. And there's so many accounts and things you could look at. The man said, I'm not even worthy that you come under my roof, but Lord, speak the word and the servant will be well. And Jesus said, I haven't seen so great a faith in all Israel. And he spoke the word, he never even went there. And they were healed. Then there's another scripture says, he sent his word. He sent his word and he healed them. And we know we could say Jesus is that word, John 1 verse 1. And Jesus was sent. And as he was sent and God was with them, then Jesus says, as my Father sent me, so send I you. If we're sent with a word, God's with us. Because he never changes. He keeps an eye on his word to bring it to pass. God didn't replace the responsibility in somebody else, but he swore by himself. Christ's life was laid down in Calvary, so God kept his word. You remember I preached before, God assuming full and total responsibility at Calvary. Up the cross of Calvary, Jesus Christ took back the control. All the human race was lost under sin, under Satan. But God said, I will send a Redeemer. I will buy you back. I will pay for you. I will atone for you. And through the blood of Jesus Christ, there was full atonement made. And we are redeemed, not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. God kept his word. God done it. Christ came. God cannot change, nor does he change his mind about his word. In Hebrews 6 verse 18, and I love this verse, that by two immutable things, now pause in your mind for a moment, those two immutable things is God's promise and God's oath. God's promise and God's oath. Now God made promise to Abraham, you're going to have a son. Everything looked the opposite, didn't it? It looked as if it couldn't happen. It looked as if it couldn't take place. But God had made a promise. And because God had made a promise and God cannot change his mind about his word, that promise had to be fulfilled because he is responsible for that promise because he made it. He said it. He spoke it. God made it. God said it. God spoke it. You're not responsible for it. I'm not responsible. God is responsible. And we know he's a responsible God. And though Sarah was past with her to have children, and though Abraham was old, the Bible says one verse, well stricken in age. But God changed him. God made the promise come true. And Sarah gave birth to Isaac. And Abraham held him, and Abraham nursed him, and he took him up the mountain, and you know the whole story, but it happened. Then they would bring you to Romans 4, and Romans 4 is the imputation chapter of the righteousness of God. And God said to Abraham, you believe me, Abraham. And because Abraham believed God, it was imputed to him for righteousness. He believed, and God imputed it to him for righteousness. So this immutable, two immutable things, God's promise and God's oath, in which it was impossible for God to lie. We might have strong consolation who fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope sent before us. Now I'm not going to go into the oath this morning, but when I preached through the book of Hebrews, I did a whole thing. I'll preach it again. If somebody desires me to preach on the oath, I'll do it. Because I preached on it before, but the oath. But it's impossible for God to lie. Unchangeable, immutable means unchangeable. Things which is impossible for God to lie. Immutable means unchangeable. That which cannot be altered. Now, I want you for a moment, and I believe this is a word for somebody in this house. God has done it for you. He saved you. He's touched you. And it can't be altered. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It can't be altered. There's no devil can lose you or steal your salvation. It cannot be altered. It's eternally, it is stamped with God's own approval through the blood of a son on the cross. Can't be altered. immutable, cannot be altered. Sister, whatever God has said to you, promised you, it cannot be altered. God will do it. Then there's this other word, consolation. Means to console or to comfort. And he consoles us, he comforts us. We need comfort many times. We need strength. We could have a bereavement. We need comfort. But you know, maybe years could pass. Then one day, it hits you again. How many knows what I'm talking about? And it just hits you hard. Maybe harder than before. He's still their comforter. He'll still console you. You see, consolation here meant it's such that comes from true, sound, steadfast faith. You believe him? Like Abraham. So has God added to his promise, his oath. His oath. He cannot change. He's done it by an oath. And he swore by himself. He's made an oath. That cannot be changed. He has sworn by himself that it can't be altered. It can't be changed. Lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Can't change it. That is God's word. A date, a time. Nothing can change it. It remains the same. And he has Hebrews 13:8, the same yesterday, today and forever. You're saved today the way you were always saved. There's no new program, no new system. The gospel remains the same. Non-changing God. His oath that we might more steadily believe his promise and in believing the same receive comfort for our souls. Now I want for a few moments to talk to you about this responsible God. It is very evident that God is responsible, therefore he is a faithful God. Because God is responsible, he is a faithful God. A faithful God. There's something about faithfulness, isn't there? Faithfulness. Somebody that's faithful, they're not. The numbers mightn't be there, the support mightn't be there, but they remain faithful. They're not following a whim, but they're faithful no matter what they say. God wants us to be faithful. When we're sick and we're prayed for, we don't go with what we say. We're going by faith. Faith's not one of them five senses. There's a sixth sense, faith. And it's not working on the five senses of the body. And I know it's good to feel and all them things, but I want to ask you, do you think when Peter and John were going up and they met that man, do you think that they waited for some special feeling or some special movement? I don't believe that. I believe they knew they had the Holy Spirit when they met him and operated. They didn't have to wait and, you know, stir something up. That's what our brother John often talks about, riding the bike. But we need to be careful we're not riding it. What I'm telling you is God can do something like that when you don't even feel like it or think it's going to happen. God will do it. God's not working on our emotions, whether he's going to move or not, and see can he do it. That's not God. That's us. That's our natural feelings. We're to cast down all reasoning, all vain imagination. God doesn't work like that. Look, I've told you many times when I was in jail and no thought of God, no thought in the sense of, you know, there's nothing in me that I thought I could please God, approach God, but God moved. When least expected, God moved. And I tell you, God can do just whenever and whenever he wants. But he's faithful. He's a faithful God. It's very evident that God is responsible, therefore he's faithful. And he's going to do exactly what he says. Now we're going to go to Psalms 89. And I want to read you a few verses from Psalms 89. Psalms 89 from verse 1. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. My mouth will make known thy faithfulness till all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shall establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David, my servant, thy seed will I establish for how long? Forever. That's why Israel cannot be wiped out. They're that seed. And then we are the royal seed of Abraham. How many knows we're the royal seed? When people say, oh, there's nobody left, there's nobody, that's not according to this word. According to this word, God will always have a people. God will have a church, and she'll be a victorious, triumphant church. Not only will she be a victorious, triumphant church, the Bible says she will be without spot and without wrinkle. And the gates of hell are against her, but he can't prevail, because she's got a faithful God. Verse 4, thy seed will establish favor and build up thy throne to all generations. In your Bible, they have that wee word, Selah. And that word, do you know what it means? Meditate upon this. Think upon it. Take a moment and pause and think of the goodness and this faithfulness of God to David, to you, to me. Verse 5, and the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Nobody. Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? Nobody. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints. He's here this morning. And to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee. God is faithful. Therefore he's responsible. Isn't that wonderful? Faithful God. Look at Isaiah 11. Isaiah 11, verse 1 to 9. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, and the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked, and the righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness, the girdle of his reins, and the wolf shall also dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with a kid, and the calf, and the young lion, and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall feed, the young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And we know this is speaking about Emmanuel, and it's also speaking about the millennial reign. And God has spoken about these things, and God has said these things, and God is a faithful God, and it's going to take place, and it's going to happen. There's going to come a day when you can stroke the land. Literally. Ain't that something? Now let me tell you, it's coming to my mind. I can't forget it. Brother, I could have had horrors about it. But me, when smart as I am, there's a wee thing, you know. But there was a lion at the zoo, and I thought I would go up to the lion, you know. I'll give the lion a bit of a scare. And I went up, and the big lion, he was back there, and he was taking it easy. And of course, smart Tom went up to boo-hoo at the windy. Why, he come at it. That lamb turned, and I'm glad there was a plate glass between me and him. That would have been swallowed. And by all, he come at me. He come at me, I tell you. I definitely didn't feel like Daniel at that moment in time. I can tell you. And I thought to myself, scared the life out of him. Do you remember that? And I jumped, and everybody was there filming, and they all started to laugh. A boy scared the life clean out of a brother. But you just think of it. Think of that lion. And you know, in Africa, the lions, brother, the size of them. And I did a bit of a study one time and looked up the lions. Some of them lions can be 9 feet long. 9 feet long. They are massive. You think when he's on his back, legs up, the size of them. And you think of the millennium reign, they'll be like a kitty cat. That's our God. That's the faithfulness of God. And all these things that you'll be able to do because of God's faithfulness. And God said these things, they're going to happen, they're going to come to pass. We might think, where are they? What's happening? But God's going to bring them to pass. You know, God's faithful, isn't he? Let me tell you just a story. And I might have told you this before, it's a true story. I think he called the fella that told it, Jonathan Shuttles. He's a funny name, Shuttlesworth or something. But anyhow, that's not important. But he told a story about his grandmother's great woman of faith, Pentecostal. And they had no money and they had no food hardly in the house. And they were praying that God would meet their needs. And she went out in the barn and there was a load of eggs. She had no chickens. And she watched, and these chickens, she followed them. And these chickens had come up from a neighbor farm. And they had come into her barn and laid in her barn. And she gathered up all these eggs and she followed the chickens, and the chickens went back home to where they lived. And she went to the people that owned them and she said, you know, your chickens come up to our place. I don't know why, and they laid in our barn. Here's the eggs. And the woman says, oh no, them chickens never lay. They've never laid an egg here from the time we've got them to now. And you can keep them eggs. They're no use. We don't use them eggs. We don't use eggs. Take the eggs. We don't need the eggs. And every day the chickens left their home and come up over the hill quite a distance, and they laid in their barn and they had fresh eggs every day. And the eggs is good for you. Eggs is real good for you. I like the eggs myself. I know there's a lot of people in here, I'm sure you like eggs. But God met the need. Now you might think, what about an egg? But if you're hungry, I'll tell you, and you could get a wee bit of make homemade bread and an egg. You get a scrambled egg and toast, fried egg and toast. Boys and dears, sister, get the pan on. Great. But God was faithful. God was faithful to that wee woman. That he took some of these chickens from another place. And he must have spoke to them like he spoke to the lions for Daniel. And said, here, get these fellas up over that hill. There's a wee woman up there. Get over there and see when you get up there. Lay a few eggs for her. How long for it? I tell you, different. And every day they went up over the hill and they laid the eggs. And you think of it's a real serious thing. If Daniel had been put in there with them lions and God hadn't stopped them, they'd have crushed him to pieces. He wouldn't have lasted a minute. Not a minute. The first bite, near enough, he'd have been dead. I saw a hunter out in Africa with a high-powered rifle. And the man had never hunted a lion. He owned all these guns, but he had no experience of the real thing. He'd shot at a few targets. And these South African men took him out. South Africa. And they hunt the lion, and the lion charged him. And he got nervous, and he panicked, and he missed it. And it got him. It got him. And you want to hear that man squealing when it got him. And one of them other fellas shot it. They were right there, but he was badly injured. And it just got one hold of him. Now, you've heard me before talk about God when Jacinda. And God when Jacinda had two pat lions. Imagine a pastor having two pat lions. That's like the fella here in Belfast. There's a man here in Belfast that pat lions, you know. And you could go on here and read the history about it. He walked them on a lead. But God went and had them from their cubs and he reared them right up. And that the she lion, she was really smart, smarter than the male lion. She could go right up a pole as high as that Wendy's and take a chicken on the top. And that young male lamb started growing, and his mane was just coming. He wasn't even full grown. And he used to walk him. And he says, Tom, I walked him the same way every night. And there was goats, but where they were, he couldn't reach them. But the fellow that owned the goats moved the goats. And that lamb knew it, but Godwin didn't. And as he passed as normal, the lamb just went, boom, with a paw. And he killed that goat. He killed it just as quick as you like, that goat. And then he got one of the fellows that worked for him, and he crushed him. And he had to get rid of the lambs. And I think they were put into some, like a zoo or safari thing. They put them in there. And I didn't know, has he really got lambs? You know, he's telling me all this story. Has he really got lambs? And here he pulled out the video and put it on. And I watched the whole video on it. So it's not a story, it's real. And them lambs are real. And you just think that God could just whisper in them lambs that weren't fed for days and say, wait, I tell you, one of my servants will be coming down in here and see as soon as he comes in here, get up into that corner and don't move till he leaves here again. And I'll tell you, they obeyed him. And you know, the next day when they throw them other boys in, they crush them to pieces. And look at them fish. Look at the fish. Them, Peter. Peter, but a trained fisherman, knew where to fish. Couldn't get the fish. Knew where to fish. Knew how to do it. And against all odds, God said, but go out one more time. Lord, we've tried it. Never worked. But because you've said it, all right, we'll do it. And the nets were going to break. And they had to get their partners in the ship to help them in. And it almost sank the ships. God's faithful. If you have a need this morning, you pray and believe God can meet your need. You know there is a scripture, and I preached it from Genesis about Abraham, where he prayed that first prayer, and God met Abraham according to his need. And if you have a need, I'm confident God will meet your need, because he's a faithful God. We remain faithful, he will remain faithful, because he's a responsible God. And there's something about being faithful. Listen, the Bible says, be faithful in the small things, and God will reward you in the bigger things. But you need to be faithful in the small things. And some people think that's just a small thing. It's not until I'll join the big thing. Maybe God didn't tell you to join the big thing. Maybe God wants to start with something small, and then what he does, what's up to him. Deuteronomy 7. And I'm finishing in a moment. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 7 to 9. The Lord did not set his love upon you or choose you because you were more in number than any people. For ye were the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you. Isn't that beautiful? You should underline that in the Bible. You'd say, maybe God spoke that to you, brother. No, the Lord's saying that to you, sister, brother. The Lord loves you. The Lord loves you this morning. If you're here, the Lord loves you, because the Bible says God so loved the world, John 3:16. And God is love. And he's faithful. And because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, that the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of the bondman from the hand of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And he's redeemed us out of the Egypt of the world and the bondage we were in. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. So that's right here this morning. If we will keep the Lord's word, the Lord will love us and keep us and remain faithful. 1 Corinthians 1 says, in verse 4, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and all knowledge, even as that in everything ye are enriched, utterance, knowledge, verse 6, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind and no gift waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9. God is faithful, by whom ye are called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. God is faithful. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 3, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. The Lord is faithful. When you think in your lifetime and go back and the things could have happened but they didn't, God spared you. Even when you weren't saved, God still spared you. You know, as a wee young fella, we used to go down a big hill up in Dromore, a place called Gala Street. There was a big hill down. Philip, I'm sure, remembers the day. And there was a wee shop, Bradshaw's. I used to go with a pram to Bradshaw's shop and get the groceries for my mum with a pram, child's pram. And we'd fill the pram and I would give the note. Mr. Bradshaw's old mum was living then. He wouldn't have given me a penny off it. He was tight. And even if he spent a lot of money back then, he wouldn't have given a penny off it. Never mind a pound, he was that tight. I remember all them things. I remember a fella looking to fight with me and I had the shopping trolley, the pram filled. And I said to him, I don't stop. I've more fear of my dad than all these boys put together. And I said, I'll tell you what, let me get the shopping home and I'll oblige you. And that's exactly what happened. But God's faithful. When I'm telling you that, we used to go across that road and we had, what do you call them things? You sit on them. Go-karts. Oh, we had go-karts. And there was a fellow, Boyd's lived up there. They had the go-karts with the ball burn wheels in the back. You ever see them? These young fellas, maybe you've never seen them. But what you do is, you put the prom wheels in the front of it that height, some of them even bigger, and these wee ball burn wheels in the back, and they slid about the back of them. They were dangerous. And we'd have come the whole way down the hill, flat out. There's no way you're getting stopped at the bottom. You're just going over the road. We were coming back over that road. Tom went over the road. And he decided, would I cross it or not? Couldn't make my mind up. So I'll go anyhow. And I went anyhow. And a car hit me. Smack. Smashed the light in the front of the car. Scared the life out of the boy driving it. All I can remember is, waking up and I've seen this big beard. And this wave of hair. My dad was young then. I was only a wee fella. Oh, no, I knew it was all right. It's in my dad's arms. And he just carried me like nothing. And I looked it up. There was a beard. My dad looked, "You all right, Tommy?" I took him a minute to say, "I think I'm all right." Carried him up to the house. Leo McStraw was our neighbour. Leo says, "Billy, we'll take him to the doctor anyhow. But he looks all right." And they took me out to the wee doctor. He lived out the road. And the doctor did all whatever he'd done. Lights in the eyes and checked me all over. Looks all right to me. Take him to the hospital anyway. And on the way to the hospital, I'll never forget it, where Liam McStraw's car, I think it was a Triumph. There was a mini past us. Flan. Mini car. She must have been doing 100. Now I go back with cars, hardly done 100. To walk quicker nearly. You know what I mean? 100 mile a year. That's a couple of years ago, isn't it? But the car passed us, and then we seen all these sparks, flames, clean out of the road. Put her clean through the hedge, clean out the road. And Leo and my dad says, "Well, better stop, boy. Them boys, they're in bad shape." And my dad and Leo stopped, and the two boys, they got the ambulance and all, I can't even remember where somebody else had rang or what happened. But they found one fella way, way down in the field. The car was wrecked. They got this boy in with me and his leg was almost torn off. In the back of the car with me, ripped to pieces, blood coming out of his legs. He was in bad shape. We got down to the hospital. We got him in, and then they got me in. And they x-rayed me and looked at me. Couldn't find nothing wrong with me. That boy had to go for an operation. Life was saved. And the other fella was away through down the field. I don't know what all happened and everything about it. It's not unreal. And you know, Maybe I had to have that wee accident to then meet them two boys. At the same time, I don't know. God knows everything. But I'll tell you what, God was faithful. God had something for me to do. As a wee fella then, I didn't know anything about it. I remember coming home telling my dad, and I used to be clean mad about boxing, probably still am, but anyhow, I wanted to be a boxer. Boy, I wanted to be a boxer. My dad says to me, you'll be doing no boxing. God's a work for you. Now, at this time, my dad's not serving the Lord. He's smoking a pipe, he's drinking. And I'm saying, he's sitting there smoking that pipe and he's drinking. And he's telling me God's a work for me. And I just laughed at him. And I wasn't allowed to go to the boxing, but I snuck away to the boxing. Snuck out. Put a pound on my mum. Charlie Sherman was a great known boxer. He took me away to the boxing club. And then I come back home, my dad found out, I don't even know why I'm telling you this, but anyhow. Come back home anyway, my dad found out I had been away to the boxing club. My dad says, you ever go back to a boxing club, I'll box you, I'm Charlie Sherman. That was the end of the boxing club all. But God had plans. God had plans. But I wasn't serving God. I wasn't living for God. I never set out and said, I'll tell you what, I'll do these certain programs and things and then God will do this and that. Never happened like that. God was faithful. And maybe you think you've missed it. Maybe somebody listening, you think, well, I've been bad and I haven't done what I should have done and I've missed it. No, God's still the plans. God's still faithful. I'm going to have to close. I'm not finished, but I'm closing. God is faithful. You can read Proverbs 8 at some time as well. But I won't take the time this morning. Let's stand our feet. God is faithful. Faithful God, and he's responsible for his word. And God will bring it to pass, whatever he says. You know, God's faithful. There's a time then when he came for me. He came for me. You say, brother, what do you mean? That's what I mean. He came for me. I crashed a car, should have been dead. Very high speed. Me and another fella, the car was upside down, smashed to pieces. The sergeant afterward in charge, when he knew I'd get saved, he was a saved man from Lurgan. Says to me, I don't know how you used to get out of that vehicle. Somebody was looking after you, I can tell you. I remember standing on the road, not serving the Lord, and the voice, the presence falling over me, the voice saying, if my hand wasn't upon you, you wouldn't be here. What do you think of that? Now I want you to think of that just for a minute, and then I want you to think of this when somebody says, God's hand's not on you at all. See, they don't know what they're talking about. No idea what they're talking about. If God's hand wasn't on you, you wouldn't be here. The Lord's hand's on you. You mightn't feel it in a physical way sometimes. Sometimes you might. But the Lord's with you and he's faithful. And I want you to know that God will bring to pass everything he promised you because he's faithful. Let's bow our heads. And if you want prayer, just lift your hand and the Lord spoke to you and we'll pray again as we close before Brother Gary comes. God bless you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, we wouldn't even have been here. We would have been gone. The enemy would have puffed out our lights, snuffed us out like blowing out a candle. But you, Lord, preserved us, kept us. Everyone in this room, many in this room wouldn't have been here. But you preserved them, you kept them. For a reason, for a purpose, because you are a responsible God and you're a faithful God. Father, I'm asking you for the hands raised, meet every need. Answer prayer, Lord. Touch and bless and minister again to your people. Father, we thank you for your mercy and your grace, your love and your truth you've showed toward each one of us. Lord, we know our lives is laid out before us. With someone that knows more than we know. We just acknowledge you in all our ways again this morning and pray and know you will direct our paths for the footsteps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. Father, bless your children in this house. Bless every sister, bless every brother, every boy, every girl, every man, every woman, those tuned in. Bless them. Meet their every need. Strengthen and encourage them. Because you're a faithful God. Help us to know that you're faithful. Forgive us for unbelief. Help us to believe like Abraham. That we won't go by sight or any feelings, but we'll go by faith alone and Christ alone. Lord, grant it, I pray. Bless Brother Gary and all these young musicians. Bless her sister Alba and the piano. And everyone, inspire every single one of them, I pray. And Father, for those that's taking that step and saying to the world, I'm going to die me and rise me in baptism. Lord, will you bless them? Will you put your hand upon them and give the promise that your word declares in Acts 2:38, the Holy Ghost. Lord, we thank you for that eternal life. Lord, bless your people this morning and bless this service. Lord, if you would tarry to tonight, will you help us this evening? Will you bless your word this evening? Will you save somebody? And add to your work such as should be saved in Jesus' precious name. Lord, we commit it to you and we acknowledge you in Jesus' precious name. Amen, amen. God bless you as Brother Gary comes. God bless each one.
Try singing the hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, O God, my Father. I'm not sure what it'll be. I don't think I can play it, but I'm not that horrible. I'll sing it anyway.
Great is Thy Faithfulness, O God. As thou hast been.
344, Matthew, I don't know if the number helps you find it. And Alva, if you would give us wee introductions, I'm not just sure how the verse goes.